Oh, it's honestly the best when I record in a moment of strong emotion. It's just so much better. Right now I am sick, so I can't talk as well. Like, there's mucus in my nose and... Hold on, let me go blow. That's a good idea. Okay, I'm back. I think it's a little better. I blew my nose and drank some water. All right. Like I was saying, it's kind of just the best when I can talk about something when I'm feeling most passionate about it. That's just the best because a lot of times at night I want to record, but it's too late. But I have these very, like, fresh thoughts and I want to share them so badly. But this morning, I'm feeling honestly frustrated and angry and So I woke up and my neck was hurting as usual. I've had this chronic pain for over 2 years now and I've been doing everything I can. I have a bulging disc in my neck. And it causes the pinching of this nerve and leading to numbness. Numbness like down my back, in my upper traps, and down my left arm. And it's very disruptive to my sleep. Not as much as before because I have taken on some new physical therapy exercises. But I've been dealing with this for a long time and I've been trying my best to alleviate this pain. Like, I exercise every day even when I don't feel like it. I stopped drinking coffee even though I loved it because I know caffeine isn't the best for healing injuries because it dehydrates your body. I do these stretches before bed at night. I sit a certain way on the couch. Like, the list just goes on. And it just really sucks when you're trying your best and you're not getting any results, really. Like, I am definitely getting a little bit, but it's still there. Like, I'm still in pain. And being in physical pain really just reduces your quality of life. And that's just so, it just sucks. Right. And so I woke up this morning with particularly aggravating pain behind my left shoulder blade. And it's just so annoying because obviously I'm in a time of healing right now. And the one thing I want to do is to be able to rest. Like, at the end of my day, I want to be able to lay in bed and be comfortable. And I can't because I'm in pain. And when I wake up, it's there too. And I just want to be able to lay in bed and feel like at ease. And I can basically never do that. And yes, I'm not a pessimist. Like, there are times when I am frustrated about it, but most of the time you can't be frustrated all the time or you're not going to go anywhere. And so you're like, okay, I'm accepting that this is the way it is and I'm just trying my best to move on with it. But it's okay to be frustrated. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. Letting yourself feel what you want to feel. So I turned on some music because I'm like, this is so annoying. And I'm also sick right now. It's just a combination. I'm like, why universe? Why? And of course we can be frustrated about whatever's happening to us. And a little voice in the back of my head's like, okay, yeah, you can be frustrated about this, but a lot of other people have worse things happening that's probably more frustrating. So on the outside looking in, it is dramatic. And I know that. Intrusive thoughts, okay? I really struggle with that. But push those aside. I'm like, no, this is fucking annoying. So I turned on music. I have certain songs I listen to. I put on 21 Pilots. I definitely have mentioned this in another episode I recorded. Haven't edited it. Am I? I feel. Wait, haven't I haven't edited. I haven't got the chance to edit it yet. Okay, what? I'm glitching. Anyway, but let me mention them now. Stressed Out by 21 Pilots. Ride by 21 Pilots. Oh, so great. I also have specially made playlists for when I'm frustrated. So anyway, I put that music on. And I started dancing in bed. Like, I was like, my body was getting into it. At some point, I got up out of bed and I was like punching the air, flipped off the sky, dramatically on the ground, like I was a rock star. This is what I do. And I just let myself, like, I just let myself be frustrated, but almost comically. Like, not taking myself so seriously. And, yeah, just get mad. And I wanted to share this with you because I think that a lot of us, I've gotten better at it, but a lot of us have, like, we feel like we need to be reserved and stay level-headed when we're going through something like this. And being positive and being completely logical about everything. But emotion and logic are complete opposites. My therapist once said that wisdom is actually the balance of emotion and logic. And I mean, obviously a logical response to someone dying is grieving and being sad, right? But logic and emotion aren't necessarily opposites, but you do get what I mean. Like, it's not logical to grieve because, hey, you're wasting time here. You should get back to your job and continue making money so you can pay for groceries and your bills. And so that would be the logical thing to do, right? Grieve the fastest way that you could. Like, or not grieve at all, right? A loved one died. Don't grieve at all. And continue with your life. And not have an emotional response to anything. And you would be able to, like, keep up with your bills. You would be able to still hang out with your friends. You would be able to continue being productive, continue work as usual, performing well. But that's the thing. Like, you can't do that. Your emotions have to be processed. So that's what I mean when emotion and logic are opposites. And so if we want to process our emotions, we can't be logical about it. Like, why do we feel this need to be level-headed? And I think it really stems from us learning that being overly emotional is shameful or dramatic or just a bad thing. Like, I just remember so many times when I was crying, like, I felt like I was starting to cry. And I was like, no. Like, I need to stop. Like, ooh, stop crying. Or you see it a lot in shows even when someone, a young character, is crying and, like, their paternal figure or someone that's comforting them is like, oh, don't cry. I didn't mean to make you cry. I'm sorry. And they, like, wipe their tears away. Are you kidding me? Do you want to see what I look like when I'm comforting my sister when she's crying? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, let it out. I'm like, this is good for you. I'm like, you need to let this out. And crying is such a natural thing. And it's a natural response to a moment of catharsis, processing your emotions. And why would we deprive ourselves of that? And the funny thing is, I remember comforting my sister in a time when she was, like, overwhelmingly crying. Like, her breaths were catching. She wasn't breathing, like, correctly because you know what I'm talking about when it's you can't breathe and you're trying to and your body's just fighting it. And you're simultaneously sobbing. And I was like, okay. I was like, Ashley, let it come, like, let yourself cry, embrace all that you're feeling. And when I told her that, she actually stopped crying. She actually stopped, her breaths return to normal. She could actually breathe. And that just shows you that you need to let yourself feel what you're feeling. And the more you resist it, the more it's going to persist. It just adds on another layer of panic, another layer of anxiety and stress and like, ooh, overwhelmingness. Is that a word? I don't know. But it makes sense. Anyway, you can see how that's ingrained in us in being shamed and feeling like we're dramatic. And I'm improving at this right now, but it is something I'm still working on. But I used to be like this, where I would feel something and I would have toxic positivity just take its place. And for me, it was unique in a way because I have OCD and I struggle with intrusive thoughts. And so, but let's go back to when I was in high school before they were this, I saw these positive thoughts as intrusive. When I had these moments where life was really sucking, it felt like, and I was like, okay, you know what? There are kids that don't even get to go to school. I was probably stressing about school and like sports and having all these extracurriculars, not getting enough sleep. And I would be like, okay, well, there are kids that don't even get an education because they spend all day looking for food. Like, there are kids that literally go through trash during their days to scavenge for food while I'm here stressing about school. I'm like, that just sounds so ridiculous. Check your privilege. And there are kids that do go to schools where their educational system, they don't have enough funding for it to be as great as my school. And so they don't even have sports. So I get to do all these extracurriculars. I have all these sports. I have my own room. I have a queen size bed. Like, why? What is there to be upset about? Some people would be like happy to even have the problems I was having, but living in a home where they had their own bed. They had a toothbrush and toothpaste that wasn't even like, it wouldn't be in question when they would have those basic necessities. I have food on the table. I have parents that work, and so they are able to get food on the table for me without me even having to stress about it. So that's the kind of toxic positivity I'm talking about, where I wouldn't even let myself feel frustrated about what was going on in my life, or sad or upset. And yes, gratitude is a great thing, but there really is a balance to it. You can't be telling yourself to be grateful all the time. And so I continued on like this for a while. And sophomore year of college, that was like the pits of my mental health. And I remember being in my room crying. And I was at a point where I'm like, okay, I want to feel. I want to let myself cry, because I struggled crying. In high school, I even prided myself on being a person that rarely cried. I had friends that talked about crying like at least once a week, or crying every day maybe, and I could not fathom that. I'm like, I can't even remember the last time I cried. And I was like, oh, go, good for me. Not good for me. Girl, you need to let that out. And so I think it's frustrating when you do want to cry and you can't, because it is your body's like most physical, most visceral response to everything that's going on. And so crying is really an amazing thing. So anyway, back to my sophomore year, when I wanted to get myself to cry and I couldn't let it out. And when I finally did, and tears would come, I'd have an intrusive thought. because I wanted to cry so badly and be in my present moment so badly that I would have an intrusive thought saying, oh, look how funny this is. Look at this girl being so dramatic. And I would be a person like looking at myself objectively. It wasn't an out-of-body experience. I wasn't disassociating from my body. It was like me imagining what I would look like to another person. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so dramatic. And it's not, that wasn't necessarily toxic positivity, but it was another form of not letting myself feel and kind of almost making fun of myself for crying. Or it's complete self-sabotage, because what I wanted to do was to cry, and it was this self-awareness. It's like a hyper-awareness of me crying in that moment and like looking at what was going on rather than just being in the present with myself. This is kind of complicated to explain. I hope it's coming out correctly. And yeah, that's a little fun little thing with my OCD, this whole like hyper awareness thing where it zaps me out of my present moment and the thoughts are intrusive. And yeah, so I would be like, oh my gosh, look at this girl who's crying. And then I would be like, no, I don't want the toxic positivity. And bam, as soon as I'm like, I don't want it, my brain gives me it. And so I'm like, oh, why are we feeling this way? Like, we don't have to. And there's so much that we can be appreciative of. It's like when you tell a person, hey, don't think about a dancing banana in your head right now. Don't do it. I dare you not to. Boom. I know that there's a dancing banana in your head right now. And so that's what was going on in my mind. I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, all right, we're doing it. Oh my gosh. And that was the most frustrating thing. It was so frustrating when I wanted to feel what I wanted to feel and constant intrusive thoughts. Ooh, getting worked up just thinking about that right now. So since then, that was a little over a year ago, maybe. No. Actually, that was probably about a year ago, maybe less. And oh my gosh, that's so frustrating. And that induced another state of panic, because I'm like fighting with myself in my head. So how have I changed since then? Honestly, I think it's just a practice of when you're having those heightened emotions, just letting yourself, just fully embracing what you are feeling and how your body wants to respond. If you want to cry, let yourself cry. If you want to be mad, let yourself be mad. I don't know why we feel like we have to be so composed about our emotions all the time. I think people fear coming off as dramatic and like they can't keep themselves together. But I think nowadays, I mean, at least in the people that I'm surrounded by, I see people trying to stay too reserved. And I wanted to share ways that I just let myself just embrace it. And I see how being dramatic is, there's a negative connotation to that word. But I mean, think about the club, the drama club in high school, right? Drama. It's really just expressing your emotions in a very like observable way. If you went to the drama club's performance, you would be able to see the expressions on their face, their body language, the way they use their hand gestures. And that is just them expressing their emotions with every part of their being. And even actors, I mean, on TV shows, the people that are acting and they get themselves to cry, they're really immersing themselves into that character so much so that when those actors cry, they have, after they are filming, they have to compartmentalize what's real and what's not, because their body doesn't know the difference between them crying through another character's background and experiences versus their real life, where they're not actually upset about those things. And so I'm basically just talking about the root word drama here. And how we look at the word dramatic. I'm like, let yourself be dramatic, okay? We don't have to... What is the word I'm thinking of right now? I'm thinking of Hester Prynne and the letter A. It's a word related to that. Why can't I think of it? In AP Lang, we use this word about Hester Prynne all the time. It's not shaming, but it's stigma. Oh, okay, I got it. I mean, that's a known word. Okay, we don't have to stigmatize the word dramatic. When I was, let's see. This isn't related to emotion, just more of me being like, oh my gosh, Alyssa, this is so dramatic. When I was in school this past fall semester, and my sister was like, Alyssa, I think you should take a leave from school for your health, for your mental health. I'm like, no, I'm not a person that would do that. I would never do that. And it's like, that feels so dramatic. And when I actually started thinking about doing it, I was like, this is crazy. Like, what? Because I think this is too big of a response to what's happening. Like, yes, it's too dramatic. And I don't want to do something that's too big of a response to what's actually happening and regret it. Like, that's too much. But then I asked myself, I tried to play devil's advocate, and I was like, hey, okay, you're saying that it's a dramatic response, but is the situation itself not dramatic? Doesn't that make sense to have a dramatic response to a dramatic situation? And I was like, well, the situation is that I'm going into an existential spiral, being the most passively suicidal that I've ever been in my life, and wanting to disappear from this earth the most I've ever wanted to, and everything just burned to dust, and being in a spirally state of panic and literally not being able to sleep, because I was trying to coax myself to sleep till like 7 a.m. in the morning, still couldn't do it. And the only way I went to sleep is because I passed out because I was exhausted. Is that not dramatic, Alyssa? Okay, yes, passively suicidal? Wanting to die? Is that not dramatic? Okay, so yes, our response can quote-unquote be dramatic. So, in a way, you can see how I was feeling scared of being overly... I cannot use this word dramatic anymore. I know I have said it at least 57 times already in the past 10 minutes. But I don't have another word. All right. Why do we not let ourselves be that way? Ask yourself that. Okay, I'm gonna share the ways that I just let myself feel. And let's see, I wrote down a list. All right. One way I do it. Ooh, I love this way. But let's start with the most basic ones. Okay, let's go through this list. Here's the simple one that I kind of touched on before. When you're sad and you want to cry, let yourself cry. Don't feel ashamed of feeling like you're weak and like you're breaking down. Let your body process it. And the funny thing is that when you let yourself feel sad and upset and whatever it is, whatever mix of emotions you're feeling, when you let yourself do it, you will pass that uncomfortable feeling quicker. I'm telling you, and you try it out and you let me know. And honestly, this is something that would be helpful to other people too. When you see someone panicking, like they're about to go into a panic attack, you tell them, let yourself feel what you're feeling. Let it happen. And you will see them calm down instantly. That's not really about letting yourself. That's about layering on another layer of anxiety. But I just had to include that. But when you see someone else crying, tell them, cry. Make it an open space for them to cry, because their body needs to release whatever is happening. If crying was unnatural, then every human being wouldn't be capable of doing it. If our bodies do it automatically without us telling it to, we are wired to do that. And that is our body's natural way of processing very deep emotions. So my dad, he doesn't cry. He says that he hasn't cried since he was a little boy. And I personally think my dad has endured a lot of trauma that I don't think he's willing to admit to himself. He has 9 siblings. So Vietnamese-American, came here when he was 21, lived a very crazy life. If I can tell his story one day, honestly, that would be freaking amazing. But anyway, when he got beat at school, yes, when kids were still getting hit at school, he said he was the only one of his brothers that wouldn't cry. And my dad has trained himself mentally to stay strong, but to the point where he's numb. And I want to say about 2 years ago, my grandma passed away, his mom, and he didn't cry at all. Not at the funeral, not before the funeral, not when he found out, not even after, not even weeks or months after. My mom's like, nope, he hasn't cried about it. And my dad is not even just with the crying and not just about his mother dying. It's just general emotions. When he's feeling upset, feeling stressed, he prides himself in being composed about it. And he talked about it one time, about not being able to cry. And he's like, it's funny. I can't cry. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, Dad, it's not funny. You've literally numbed yourself, and this isn't good for you. You need to let yourself feel. And my dad, his emotions come out in different ways. He's very passive aggressive. He gets so angry sometimes. Not anymore, but I remember when we were younger, he would have bursts of anger about once or twice a year, most likely once, and we'd be like, who is this man? Like, our dad is so composed, how could he do this? And it's because he would reserve his emotions and not ever let them out. So there's an example of someone who doesn't let themselves cry and how it comes out in other ways. If you don't let it come out in that natural way your body wants it to, that emotion will be bursting at the seams and will be fighting to get out one way or another. And it can lead to you being out of touch with yourself. Like my dad, he's so naive about what he's actually feeling. And I try to break through to him and letting him feel what his body wants to feel. Okay, that was a little thing about my dad I wasn't expecting to get into so much. Yes, let yourself cry. I got to talk about this a little more. I'm sorry. I can't just be done with it. When I get myself to finally cry, I am happy. People think that's weird. It's not. Because I'm like, yes, my body is finally releasing what I want to release. When I first started taking antidepressants, I couldn't cry, and it was so aggravating. Because before I was on them, I would be crying every damn day. Which, yes, that is debilitating and just so, yeah, that's the word I have for it, debilitating, when you just feel like you could cry all the time. And so for the first time in a while, I was feeling what it was like to not be able to cry at all. And that sucked because I, in my body, I felt this like pool of emotions separated from myself, but I could feel it. I could sense that it was there, but I couldn't reach it. And oh, that was really frustrating. And so now I think I've adjusted to my medication. I think I'm on a better dosage, and now I still can cry. And when I had those rare moments, like in that adjusting period, when I finally cried, it was amazing. Because it's cathartic. Crying is cathartic, and you need that. My therapist, during those times of numbness, she was the only one that could get me to cry because she was the only one I had to talk about my feelings and emotions and what I was going through with. And I thanked her. I literally thanked her at the end of the session for listening and letting myself get to the point where I could cry. All right, enough about tears. Let's move on. Another thing I do is make playlists. I love my playlists. I put fun pictures on the covers. Sometimes I usually use pictures that are related to that mood that I'm in and also that time period. My playlists, I make a lot, and so I'll make them like during this time of transition, during this time of sadness, during this time of self-growth. Right? And I'll come up with fun names for them. Like when this playlist during this little era of my life, it's called Talking is Hard. And it's because I started group therapy within the past few weeks. But I do have other playlists that I consistently go back to because it's embodying an emotion of maybe sadness or frustration, and I put songs on there that emulate those same feelings and also have lyrics that match those feelings. So I have this one playlist called What is Life, and that is when I am having moments of what the fuck are we all doing here, what is life and my existence, what the heck, life kind of sucks right now, why am I here to feel this suckish feeling? And the songs on the playlist mirror those thoughts. Like, and it's so great because then when I'm in that headspace, I have something I can click into and like sing those lyrics with those people. And it's one comforting in itself because I'm like, hey, other people are experiencing this too. And then two, it's nice to be able to harness your emotions through this medium, through this song, through this music. So that's what I really love. I also have an angsty playlist when I'm angry. Ooh, it's I think the playlist is called What the Fuck? Like certain letters in fuck being capitalized. Like, ah, I'm angry. And the songs don't have to exactly match my emotions, but just the music in itself, I have Anxiety by Meg Thee Stallion on there. I have You Against Yourself by Rool. Holy fuck, I've been talking for 37 minutes. How is that possible? All right. Music playlist. Okay. Also sad ones. Sad ones are great too, right? So pop those headphones on. The best, my Bose headphones. Great. Those are great. Just tune out everything else and just submerge yourself into the music. And then if you really want to amp up this soaking into your emotions, I dance, okay? Why deprive yourself of that thing? I think dancing is such a natural human thing, but I don't know. I think some people lose their youth. I don't want to be like pointing fingers, but I do think that people lose that freedom. And that's why seeing kids is such a beautiful thing, because they are so free. And that's why people love kids. And like, they're so admirable. And seeing kids just makes me happy. Like when I'm at the park and I just see how much they don't care and how untainted they are by the world, because no one's telling them how to act, what's socially appropriate, what's right and wrong behavior. And so they're just so unfiltered. And you see kids dancing all the time, and it's so cute. And I love it because they're so free with their bodies. And I think that's how we are supposed to be. And like, even think of people when we were still living in tribes, and at the end of the day, when people were rejoicing after like gathering food, killing animals, and harvesting a feast for everyone, and like, yes, they made it another day where they could care for each other, and they would have like maybe rituals like dancing around a fire. But dancing was definitely a part of their culture, and it wasn't weird. It was normalized. And so why now do we not do that on a regular basis? Like, it's literally us being free in our bodies. Why? We can do anything with our bodies. Why wouldn't we do something that we enjoy? Okay. And if you're old enough to go clubbing, I know you eat that up. I know you love, or when maybe a time in your life when you did go clubbing, you ate that up. I know you did. And if you do now, I know you eat that up. Okay, so anyway, put on these Bose headphones. I act like I'm at a concert. Either I'm having a dance off, right? Or this is my concert. Or I am aware I'm in my bedroom, but I'm like going full rock star, like on the ground, electric guitar, whipping my hair around, like maybe gonna crank something wrong in my neck. No, don't do that, but wild. And even that's when I like have a lot of pent up anxiety that I need to get out too. But even in times of anger, I will, like this morning. So that's if you really want to step it up to that next level. And if you care what people think about, do it when you're alone. Do it when no one's home. You're in your room. Who's it gonna hurt? Humor yourself, okay? Humor yourself. Don't take yourself so seriously. I don't like how aggressive my tone is coming off right now. I think I'm just very passionate about some of this stuff, and so I come out like, rah! Okay. All right, next thing I do, poetry. Listen, I will write poetry even in the mid, I have done this several times, in the middle of the night when I wake up because of my physical injury and my anxiety. By the way, I'm sweating right now. Something about talking about this is ramping me up, and I'm literally starting to sweat. Oh. Okay. Is this stressing me out? I think sometimes talking about this stuff is like putting me back into those times when
I felt like this.
Yeah, this is definitely digging up emotions. Also, I am sick, so it could be that too. All right. Anyway, the poetry. Yes, I was in a time where I kept waking up in the middle of the night and I could not get rest. And it is so frustrating because as a person that needs to heal and needs to take care of their health, sleep is maybe number one in the thing that you should be focusing on the most, or the number one thing that's gonna help you and like how important it is. And so the fact that I couldn't get it was so aggravating, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to fall asleep. So I whipped out my journal and I would start writing just poems. And I would write a few lines, lay, have new thoughts, write again, lay, write new thoughts. And it's just such a great way to say what you're feeling, but not so directly, because you can use similes and metaphors and speak lyrically and say things indirectly. I mean, that's what a metaphor is. You can say what it is that you're feeling without explicitly saying, hey, this is what I'm feeling. So I think that's such a great thing. I would also write poems, in times of anxiety, like bursts of anxiety, I would start writing. And even times of sadness, start writing. And I was there too at a point where I was like, I'm not a writer, I'm not a poet. This is silly, like it's not gonna come out good. Who cares? Who cares? I write and I don't cross out. I write exactly what I'm feeling, what comes to mind. I don't make it rhyme. And sometimes I come out with the most beautiful poems because it mirrored exactly what I was feeling. And reading it back over once I'm finished with the poem is such a beautiful thing. And because I was able to channel what I was feeling into these words, which aren't explicitly saying how I'm feeling, but are painting a picture, a lyrical dance of words that I'm able to relate to and that resonates with me. Yeah, I remember writing my first poem one day because a friend had told me that one of her friends wrote poems. I was like, oh, I thought about that too before, and it felt silly, and I think I was trying. The first poem I wrote, I was trying to make it sound pretty. Fuck that. Don't do that. Don't make it try to sound pretty or anything, and you can even write in, like, what you would call unpoetic words. The first time I really got into it, my therapist had given me a prompt of, she's an art therapist, she's really cool, and she called it a list poem, I think, and she shared one of hers with me, and it was like, anxiety, my mind doing somersaults, right? Like, personification is a great device to use. And I loved the idea of a list poem because it gave me structure and what to do. You just, you know, make little lists of like examples and stuff like that. It's hard to explain. I'll have to make another episode about this type of poetry that I do. But yeah, I don't know. No one else, these poems aren't for anyone else but you. Right? You're not someone that's publishing them, so they don't have to be so grand. And actually, the more pretty that you try to make your words, oh my gosh, I think I'm sounding sick. I'm sorry. Hold on. The more pretty you try to make your words, the less true that they are. And actually, sometimes the truth in your words is what makes them beautiful. So let yourself write freely. And let yourself be dramatic in your words. Let me tell you, if I went back and read my poems right now, I'd be like, oh my gosh, someone help this girl. That sounds crazy. But it's not, because even I'm telling you, 24 hours after writing maybe one of the most heaviest poems I've written, I would read back and be like, whoa, I felt that way 24 hours ago. That's crazy. So let yourself feel that heightened state of emotion, and it is also cathartic doing that, because you are letting your anger out. It's also physically writing. You're able to channel your physical energy into something, and it's nice to write, to be dramatic. I actually wrote a poem, I remember, about censoring myself and containing my feelings. I was like, I want to scream my head off, like pull the trigger, da 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 da, like unleash everything. Because I was writing about how frustrating it was to pent everything up. Don't feel weird about expressing yourself when you don't think you're good at it. Why do you think people pursue singing as a career, acting as a career? People that are writers, people that dance, and maybe it's not even for a career. They just do it as a hobby. Dance, sing, anything that's expressing themselves. Playing music. Those are all ways to express their emotions. People that are songwriters and play music. I can imagine if I were them being able to, and I still do this, even though I'm not like some renowned singer. Okay, I didn't like the way that singer came out. My voice just broke. Okay. But can you imagine how amazing that feels to be able to put your feelings into words that ring true for you while also playing music along with it and just submerging yourself in those emotions? And it's just, yeah, expressing it all and releasing yourself a bit. And that's what all those people are doing. They're putting their emotions into their dance. When someone dances a contemporary dance where it can be very emotional, and those emotions, they move through their torso to their fingertips, and they're sending a message to the audience but also for themselves. Why are those people the only ones allowed to do it? Just because they're good at it? Because other people can say that, like, see that they're good at it? Why? Why do you have to be good at it to enjoy it? You can sing too. You can dance too. You can play an instrument too. You can write too. You can write poetry too. You don't have to be some poet that's published and acknowledged for being so good of a writer. If it feels good for them, it'll probably feel good for you too. And so really focus on the feeling rather than what it looks like and what it would sound like to another person. People love those things for a reason, and you should be able to love those things too. All right, next one. This is also kind of a thing that where you can channel your physical energy into write, like using a pen or a pencil or something. I have this thing, I don't know what to call it, and a mood sketchbook or an emotional drawing sketchbook. I have no idea, but I'm trying to find a good name to call this thing, because I refer to it sometimes to my therapist and maybe my sister, And I draw my emotions. And it's the same thing as in those heightened states of emotions when I'm writing poetry or even just simple journaling. Like when you're, and it doesn't even have to be like heightened states all the time. Sometimes it's like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. And you write it down. And I'm really not so keen of words all the time because I don't feel like using that part of my brain. Like listening to my words is exhausting. I honestly hear enough from myself sometimes. I'm like, please, no more. So I will let myself just symbolize certain things in my life through pictures and definitely play on metaphors and symbolism and anything I want. If even when I'm like in a mood where I want peace, I'll draw a peaceful scenery. And this is such a great thing too, because a lot of the times we try to express things with our words, but when I look at some of the drawings I've done, they capture my exact feeling in, it's almost like one single word, but obviously we're not using words when we draw, in one single thing that I'm looking at, I am saying a lot. When they say, a picture says 1,000 words, I don't know what that saying is, but yes, that's what it is. And the fact that I drew it, but so it caters to exactly what I was feeling, it is amazing. And again, I think a lot of people would refrain from using this as an outlet for themselves, but you don't have to be good at drawing. Seriously, I draw in pen. One, I like the way the pen looks, and two, it stops yourself from doing all that erasing, drawing and erasing. It doesn't have to be perfect. As long as it makes sense to you, that's really all you need. It does not have to look good. It just should ring true for you. That's the most important part. And you can draw simple things. One of the things that I draw a lot are cubes, like these empty, you know how you did that in school when you draw the two squares, one square was like a little more to the right and a little more up than the last, and you connect all the vertices, and I'll draw that and sometimes like a hand reaching through it to convey my feelings of emptiness and like feeling like things are meaningless and just, yeah, along those lines. See, I can't even put it into words, but when I look at that cube, I know exactly what I'm trying to say. And like, that's something that's super simple to draw. And also, you will get better at this. The more that you do it, you'll get better at drawing too. And it can be annoying when you're trying to draw something and it doesn't look like it at all. Okay, but you know what you were trying to say. So, yeah, sometimes these drawings can be very dramatic. I'll look back at them, I'll be like, whoa, like, yeah, that does look like someone that needs help. And I am getting help, okay? So some of my drawings, let's think. There's one where someone's holding a gun and it's to shoot a butterfly. There's another where I'm the girl, jumping out of a window with a rope tethered to her ankle, tied to this thing anchored inside of the window, and her lungs are like came out of her body. They came out of her mouth, and her lungs are like falling in the air with her. Let me think of another. I draw skeletons a lot. I draw like a skeleton laying at the bottom of lots of things going on. Sometimes I'll go back to pictures. I'm like, I don't even know what's going on here, but I can feel the emotion. And so these pictures can look so dramatic, right? There's that word again. But those emotions that we're feeling in those moments, like that, That is what it feels like. And that's why you can't really convey to anyone, and even yourself, what your precise moments of intense emotion feel like. Like, say I was having a really depressive low, and then that was like 5 days ago, and then I'm in therapy with my therapist, and I'm trying to tell her what it was like, and I can't. And even I can't remember. And so that's what those times are like. And so, of course, the pictures are going to turn out like that, where it's like, whoa, that's so crazy that I felt that way. Let yourself draw, all right? Be free. Draw in pen. If you are someone that struggles with perfectionism in something like this, draw in pen and don't scrap it. Continue going on with what you were drawing. All right, what else? Oh, another simple thing I do when I get in my car. I sing so loud when I'm alone. Like, after group therapy, I'm anxious as heck. Like, because I struggle with social anxiety and also, like, just, yeah, let's leave it at that, social anxiety. And I have a fear that people are just thinking the worst of me and taking my words the wrong way. When I get in the car, I verbally scream. To get out that pent-out anxiety, scream, and then turn up with the music, sing loudly, like I'm in a freaking movie. That is what I'm like, yeah. And I again, I'm humoring myself. This is the same thing as when I'm in my room and I'm dancing, not taking myself so seriously, and I'm just singing. I'm like belting, putting on all the funny music, all the dramatic music I want. Another one I'm just thinking of now, stream of consciousness journaling. It's when you don't even have to guide yourself through your journaling. Like, you don't have to give a certain exercise or a prompt. You are writing exactly what is coming to mind. Even if you jump ship from one topic to another, and if you read it back, it wouldn't make sense, do it. Write whatever comes to your mind. Right when it does. And if you have a thought when you're like, nope, that's too much. That, you know, let's not go so far and say that. Write it. All right. That was a lot. I do want to say, if we lived like that all the time, where we were just dramatic about everything, I think that's when we go to the point of neuroticism, and obviously we can't operate that way all the time. We can't just be this person, like, screaming out emotions all the time. I think we would be exhausted, but I actually think that it would be impossible, because when you do let yourself feel your emotions, they subside faster. And so I think when we just let ourselves have those moments of, this is my time to process, it's a great thing we can give to ourselves, because too often we censor ourselves and suppress ourselves. Of course, yes, there's a balance. I don't really know how to address this balance. I think you just have to be reasonable about it. See, it's scary talking about stuff when you can put it out to the world, because you don't know how people are going to take it. Like, ooh, am I giving people the license to just, like I said, act neurotically and affect all the people around them? No, that's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying you should go out and unleash your emotions onto other people either. It's really you being with yourself and tuning into your emotions and letting them wash over you. And yeah, like I said, sorry if this is redundant, but once you embrace them, you can process them faster and you can release the feeling faster. All right, I'm going to leave it at that. I think you know what's best for yourself at the end of the day. And I just wanted to be an advocate for you to tell you that you can absolutely feel what you're feeling without being shamed. And let yourself channel those things freely. I struggle with it still in trying not to feel ashamed or feel like too much. But I definitely in the past year I have improved. So it just takes practice and self-compassion. I hope that this was helpful in any way and made you feel less alone in what you're going through by me sharing. I don't even know what it is I shared, but yeah. I always forget to add this, but please let me know what you're thinking of this podcast and the episodes and the things that I talk about. My Instagram is the friend I needed. Please message me in my DMs. Please follow if you want to see more stuff. I haven't posted. I need to get my Instagram account together, but currently I have one follower. So, but if people start following, I'll be more inclined to get that together because I'd love to share stuff on that. Just like simple things, even like maybe a picture of one of my drawings, so you like one of my emotional drawings, so you could see what those are like, and maybe even a poem because I don't think I will read a poem on here. I just think that the integrity of the poem and the truth of the poem is lost because there's something about us speaking it out loud that almost taints the words. I could be wrong, but I mean, I just feel like I myself wouldn't feel comfortable in doing that because the poem would feel tainted for me. I think it's better when someone else would just read it. It's like when you read a beautiful sentence in a book and then someone takes that sentence and quotes it and like makes a post about it and all of a sudden that line is cringy. It's almost like that. Okay, anyway, please let me know what you're feeling about this podcast. I really do want some feedback because I want to know what you all are thinking, and also if you're enjoying it here, please rate it because I really don't know how people are reacting to this stuff or if I'm doing a quote unquote good job at supporting people, because all I want to do here is help people and I don't know if I'm doing that. Yeah, follow me on here too if you want to continue hearing from me. And yeah, that's all I have to say. I talked a lot longer than I thought I was going to. Let me tell you, I thought I was going to talk for 15 minutes, maybe 20. Okay. I hope you all have... I hope you have a moment of peace during your day and like something that is surprisingly happy. Like this, right when you get outside, the sun comes through the clouds for you, or you see like a really cute flower on the ground, or you see like a really cute kid in public, something like that. Like the universe just gives you something that's like, oh, that's so precious. Okay, I will talk to you soon. Bye.